God is speaking to us all the time. And if we'll just listen, like me and Kelsey just kind of going back and forth this morning, just sharing some things on the way to church. And I'm like, there it is. She looked at me like, what, did you just hit something in the road? I'm like, no, revelation come. God just showed me something. You know, we keep our thoughts and prayers. I know you've seen the TVs, everything that's happening in France. And it's a tragic situation. It's not judgment of God. But what it is, it's the devil. He doesn't respect anybody. He'll use anybody that'll listen to him. If you listen to him long enough, you'll turn into a reprobate, the book of Romans talks about, that God won't even be drawing you anymore. And without any drawing from God, you're going to go to the depths of hell, and you're going to try to take as many people as you can with you. And you'll even be deceived, thinking you're doing God's service, just like Paul was, killing people, murdering people. But as I was praying, as I seen all that on TV, I thought about our stand here recently with Israel. Not just me as a Christian stand, but with our government, the way they have shrugged off Israel. And I thought to myself, and God just brought to me, you know, that's tragic, and look at all the news media France is getting, but what about Israel? I said, this happens in their area every day. This is happening every day. So we need to not just stand behind one person, one nation, but all. You know, and that's not belittling what happened there, but I'm like, it's just terrible. That nation has to suffer that every day. That goes to show how blessed we are in this nation to have the liberties that we have, and we constrain evil by the Holy Ghost. These other nations, I mean, in Israel, you know, God, that's the apple of his eye. I mean, all this stuff has been prophesied. It's going to happen, but God, Jesus, is going to defend that city, and we're going to help him. We're going to help him. But until Jesus comes, the Bible talks about everybody's going to try to come against Israel. Why? Because it's always been that way from the beginning, since the first murderer, Cain, saw something, listened to the devil. See, he's listening to the thoughts of the devil, and that's the same way it's going on today. But praise God, we got a God. We serve a good God. That's the title of the message. Might as well just say it. It's what we're singing about this morning. We serve a good God. There's people over in France right now thinking they don't really know if God's good. Well, if God's so good, why is this happening? Just like that revelation I had this morning. I said, that's it. I thought about all the, as I was going to take you a little bit into Scripture this morning about Moses, how they were fleeing. Children of Israel, they were let go. Pharaoh finally, after all the destruction that came to his house, said, get out of here. Not only that, the people gave him all the gold and silver, take all of our stuff and just go. But then after they went, Pharaoh got to thinking, what did I do? He had to do what God said he was going to do. And he didn't want to do that, but he said, what in the world did I do? There they go. Who's going to build my Pharaoh? Who's going to build my temples now? See, he wasn't thinking about the people. He was thinking about himself. Where's all my laborers gone? Go back and get them, round them back up, boys. I just had one of those lapses in my mind. And we know the story. The Red Sea parted. Children of Israel walked through on dry ground. Not in the mud. They didn't have to get their muddy boots out. Walked on dry ground. All the way to the other side, and the enemy of God was chasing them. And we know the rest of the story. That water wasn't just a knee deep. We're talking about how deep. I don't know how deep it was, but it was deep. It was held up like a heap. God's wind just holding it up. They were crazy to even think about going in there if you didn't know God. All the things that's already happened to them, now they're going to go and try. They were listening to Pharaoh. Their hearts were just as hard as Pharaoh's heart was. Because it'll take you to depths you don't want to go. What's that little saying? It'll take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. That's what sin will do. And they got to the other side, and God let the water down, drowned all the Pharaoh's men, his soldiers, and his horses. Pharaoh liked his horses. And God revealed to me this morning, he reaped what he sowed. How many Hebrews did they drown throughout the generations, those Pharaohs? Take the newborns and drown them, the males, because they wanted to keep the population down. What has China done? years ago. Talk about, you know, restrict childbirth. We want to know why things happen. You reap what you sow. God loves us, but he told us, you do this, this is going to happen. And the devil is going to be the one that's going to get to, but that's his kingdom. He likes to bring death. And he'll usher it in real quick. See, we got mercy, we got God's mercy out there, even when we're ignorant. But there's a fine line that you run out, it runs out. Pharaoh's ran out. All his people drowned, and it was because they all those Hebrews that they drowned in. They reaped what they sowed. Amen. See, and God just he just showed me that. See, he speaks wisdom to us so that we can help somebody else out. Now, I'm not saying everything in our life happens because of something we did. It could have been something that was done in our family generations. But then when we come to Jesus, that generational curse is broke. But we gotta know that. We gotta get into the scriptures and we gotta find ourselves just like Jesus found himself. And he was the Son of God. And if he's gotta find himself in the Word, how much more have we gotta find ourselves every day, seeking every day? We serve a good God. And if we don't get in this book and understand his nature, we're not gonna know that. We're gonna forget it. Just like we'll forget it. If we don't keep him in our mind, we can forget him. That's what the Bible tells us. But we're not those people here in this church this morning. Amen? Because we hear and hear by the Word of God. But let's go to Exodus. I'm going to do some reading. I'm going to do some speed reading this morning. I'll try to. If the Lord tells me to stop and talk about something, I'll have to. But Daniel's not here this morning. Somebody tell me what the word Exodus means. Exit. With every temptation, God has given us an escape route. But in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, I was asking Kelsey about that song of deliverance was going on in my mind, but I just briefly gave you a summary of what happened to the children of Israel coming out. And once they came out, Moses sang a song. You remember, he told him his speech wasn't good to go say all these things to Pharaoh, but God knew he had it on the inside of him. He could sing. If you can sing, you can speak, right? He had a song. Well, I'm going to read this song to you. Sing along with me. Moses and the children of Israel, they sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name, various chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed our enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. See yourself as Moses today, on the other side, claiming the victory and singing a song. See yourself, put yourself, I'm saying this, but put yourself there. It consumed them like stubble, and with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. See this. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed. In other words, it just like congealed. It just molded itself and couldn't move. The waters, like jello. Congealed like jello. I'd had to touch that stuff. They might have, you know, just run my fingers through it. Look at this. I ain't even run your fingers through it. Man, this is a miracle of God. This is the God we serve. This is the God who the whole earth will see one day, his Son. And him coming in the clouds of glory, the Shekinah glory. The enemy said, I will pursue. In other words, we can say, the devil's saying, I will pursue you. I will divide the soul. I will overtake. My desire shall be satisfied on them. This is what Pharaoh's saying. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. But Moses is singing, you blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Moses, his name was drawn from water. So appropriate that he could sing a water song right here. See all this water that he's named after water, drawn from water. Lord, you drawn me, you drew me out of this water because of my enemy. The enemy that drowned my family. Lord, you saved me from them. Now they have what they're reaping what they sowed. This is why Moses could sing, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearless in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You and your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid." Now I want you to listen. I want you to really listen to these three verses here and just listen to them, but listen to them deeper. The people will hear and be afraid. What are terrorists trying to do to the world? But no, the people will hear us and will be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab tremble will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as a steel, as a stone. Till your people pass over, O Lord. We're going to pass over one day in the glory, are we not? Till the people pass over whom you have purchased. Lord has bought you with a price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been bought with a price. They were too. They took the Passover before they left. You will bring them and plant them. Say plant. You will plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made, for you own the dwelling, the sanctuary of the Lord, which your hands have established. Moses gave all the honor and glory to God. He just brought him through a tough time, and he's singing a song. The Lord shall reign. I like that song. We sing, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." That's a beautiful song. It comes from this song right here. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women after her with timbrels and with dancing. The women started dancing. Moses was a singing, and the women got to dancing. There was some shouting and some singing going on. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. God always will give you a song of deliverance to sing. And that song, he will inspire you with prophetic words that will defeat the devil. Not at all, not one time, but every time. Every time. Thank you, Father. I want to go on, I want to read the rest of this because it talks about Jehovah Rapha, your healer. After this, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which means bitter. And the people complained. Don't say that word, because I don't want you to complain. But this is what they said. They complained. What did Moses just get through doing 3 days ago? He was praising God. This is what the praise and worship team does. This is why we do it before service. We get our hearts right before God. Because we can be complaining on our way to church. Now, I've done it. Might as well just say, yeah, I've done it. Complaining about what I had for breakfast or what I didn't have for breakfast or what they forgot to give me at the drive-thru window. When I should just say, well, bless them, Lord. I guess I didn't need that today anyway. I just need my portion. There's always a chance to complain. I heard a message from Jim Howard said, if you don't get offended, you're going to get blessed. Right there it is. Don't get offended. If there ain't no water, the God that lifted the waters, He'll rain. He'll do something. I mean, he'll do something, right? That's why Moses sang the song. Like Larry this morning, he had a song in his head. He just had to keep singing it. He got it stuck in his head. That's what the whole purpose of that song was, to put a song in their heart so they could sing it, but they got to sing it in their heart. You can't retain it in your head just for a little while in your head, but if you keep singing it and keep singing it, it gets in your heart. And then when you don't have no water, you'll just start singing praises unto God. He's my deliverer. Start singing songs of deliverance. And the people complained against Moses. You could say, your pastor, things ain't happening. Start complaining to the pastor. I'm just telling you, getting ready to be pastor appreciation day next week. Did the Lord have this picked out for something or what? We're human, but we're not just human. But we have a mind and we have flesh. We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to do everything perfectly. But take it to God. Now, there's some things you got to bring to your pastor, but don't bring complaining to your pastor. Take it to God and say, Lord, help him. He needs help. See, that's the prayer you pray for your pastor. Take it to the Lord. So the Lord's just, pastor be riding down the road. Oh, that's why I was supposed to do that. Revelation to come. See, God knows me. He knows us each individually better than we think we know other people. That's why we're not supposed to judge one another. God knows the intents of the heart. Now, that wasn't part of the message, but I think that was good enough. So the people complained against Moses, saying right to his face, what shall we drink, Moses, thou great deliverer, bringing us out here? Where's the water? This is a dry land. What is that going to do to your pastor? It's going to make him start thinking, well, am I following God? See, doubt. Doubt breeds doubt. That's why you don't complain. We don't want to mess with doubt. We want to hear what God's got to say. So Moses cried out to the Lord. What did Adam do? What did Eve do? Lord, it's that woman. Adam cried out to God about Eve. Lord, it's that woman. Cried out to God when we should have been praising him. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but give me some wisdom. Give me some help. And the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. Jehovah Rapha, that's his name. That's one of his names right there. God told him that because he knew the devil is going to be trying to get in their life and bring sickness and disease, because he has got in by deception. He is now the little G, little God of this world. But he wants his people to know, I am your healer. They were needing water. But he said to them, I am your healer. He knows they're going to need healing too. Thank you. And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells. How many wells? There were 12 wells of water. They are almost there to that well of water. I'm sure they had, when they left, they put canisters. They had water in their tanks. And they come to Edom, and there's 12 wells. God knew the wells were there. So don't complain. Just keep trusting. Keep walking. Keep singing a song of deliverance. Your well is right there. You're just right there at your breakthrough. Don't let the devil come in and steal your vision, steal your hope, to steal your song. Don't let him steal your song. Amen? Because your deliverance is in that song. Your children's deliverance is in that song. Your children's deliverance is in that song. We're going to get there, and I'm going to show you. And he showed me. I got to start doing some singing. I might have to shut my bathroom door and sing, because I ain't singing too good. But I need to start singing some. I need to sing his word. And believe God, like Paul said, I'll sing in the spirit and I'll sing with my understanding the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. Turn over to Joshua. As you're heading over to Joshua, remember, keep this in your forethought. Moses, he was singing. He said, the people will hear and be afraid. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. That was in the song of Moses, verses 14, 15, and 16. Now look at Joshua. Remember, Moses couldn't make it. He didn't make it to the promised land. He saw it, but he couldn't make it. Why? Let's look to ourselves. Don't blame others, because he didn't listen to God. He struck the rock instead of spoke to the rock. and it cost him getting to put his feet in the promised land. Didn't mean he didn't make it to heaven, right? Or he didn't have blessings here on earth. Yes, he did. But he didn't make it. He didn't finish his course the way God wanted him to, right? We're no better than Moses. But we can. If we'll just listen and take those right steps, we can make it all the way to the promised land and put our feet in there. Put your feet in the water. In that good, soothing water. Amen. Joshua, verse 2. Joshua chapter 2. Now, saints, this is 40 years later. I'm 49, and it took me a long time to get to where I am. 49 years, that's a long time on this earth. They were out of God's will 40 years, out of His perfect will. They made it to the acceptable. They got born again. They got out of Egypt, got out of bondage. They were on their way. That's the acceptable will, but they never make it. This generation never made it to the perfect will of God on this earth. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, this is when Rahab, Joshua, and Caleb went out to spy the land because they wanted to know if they were able to possess this land that God said they could have. So the people weren't sure. So they said, send out 12 spies. Two of them had a good report, Caleb and Joshua. And Rahab was a harlot, hid them in this city. And she said to Joshua, the son of Nun, in verses 8, now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, in other words, she's been hiding because they're looking for them. And she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. How did she know? How did she know? The terror of you has fallen on us. I think I remember somebody singing about that. Back in Exodus. The terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Verse 10, for we have heard, say heard. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, what does it say? Our hearts melted. I wish I'd kept my finger there. You can stay right there, but I'm going back to Exodus. I'm going back to the song. Exodus chapter 15. The people will hear and be afraid. The chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab trembling will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as still as a stone till your people pass over. Pass over. Pass over. That's the Lord's covenant. They had Passover before they left Egypt. God made Passover for them to go on all the way to the promised land. But because of their unbelief, what they saw, it kept them out. But there was a song. Moses sang a song. He sang prophetic words. You know, we've had prophetic teachers come through here, Donald Moore, and speak by the oracles of God. There's those in the body of Christ that can sing. We all can sing in the Spirit. And then sing with our understanding. In other words, speak it out of your mouth what God has given you in your heart, because it might not be for you and your generation. It might be for your children's children's generation. This is what happened here. Those 10 spies didn't believe, but two of them did. And God said, if one of you, if there was be, how many left in Sodom and Gomorrah? If there be 10 righteous, Lord, had a conversation with his friend Abraham. He could have got him all the way down to one. God would have saved the whole city for one righteous. Sing a song unto the Lord. Sing a song of deliverance. And this song just keeps on going from generation to generation. There's Joshua. That was in 2 verses 9 through 11. Now keep your finger there. Going over to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua had a spirit of faith on the inside of him. He saw all the works that God did through Moses, and it had faith to rise up on the inside of him. And what did he do? He went to sleep dreaming about things that happened that day because he had a spirit. He let it overtake his spirit, become his spirit. He had a spirit of faith. I bet when Joshua went to sleep, he saw himself taking the lead. See, God had to choose somebody, and he just didn't choose anybody. He chose a leader. Joshua took the reins of Moses. He said, as I was with Moses, Joshua, so shall I be with you. And I'm sure he'd had dreams of doing things, and God confirmed it by his word and said, I'll be with you, Joshua. Just be strong and of good courage. Faint not. Keep singing the song of Moses. Sing that song of deliverance, and I'll move obstacles out of your way. I'll move kings out of your way. In Joshua 5, verse 1, it says, so it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted. Their heart melted because of that song of deliverance that Moses sang. Not by might, not by strength, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. See, his spirit, when Moses sang that song, it was sung into the spirit realm. Spiritual realm. And when they heard about these things that God did for the children of Israel, man, it was painting a picture on the inside of the enemies of God. The word was going before them. God said, I'll send my word, my face before you. I'll send my angels before you that hearken to the voice of my word. There was angels dispatched to Moses' song of deliverance that he sang for you and for me to watch over us, for mercy, to intercede for us until we came into the kingdom of God. They would steal a certain part of the devil's angels. They couldn't come but so far. Remember Job, so much came upon Job, but he said, you won't get his life. God says, you won't have his life because there's something on the inside of him that'll rise up and he'll see me for who I am. And God doubly blessed him. Amen. I could use a double blessing right now. I sure could. What do I need to do? Pray for my friends. Pray for my enemies. Because the Bible says at the end of Job, when he prayed for the enemies, God forgave him. He'll forgive a man's righteous prayer. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails doubly much. Got him doubly blessed. You could probably think of 10 enemies right now in front of your life. I'm sure I could probably do like this, get a bunch of them. We could go back, but remember, people is not your problem, it's the devil. So we're supposed to bless those that curse us and pray for those that despitefully use us. Because we know, we've been taught here that our words are life, or our words are death. They're containers of life or containers of death, blessing or cursing. We shouldn't be speaking. We're not a stream that's supposed to be speaking, cursing one day and blessing the others. No, we're a stream that flows from the river of God. Amen. That flows from the rivers of God from heaven. But we'll only be blessing if we've been in the blessing book. Amen. Because there's a lot of books out there, but there's only one the book. Amen. The Bible. It's not the Quran, it's the Bible. This is God's written holy word, passed down from generation to generations. And we got somebody to back it up, Jesus. We speak it in faith. We lay hands on the sick, they will recover. We cast out devils, they will be casted out by the finger of God. Jesus did it. He said, now you go and you do it. A terror stands in front of you, speak the name of Jesus. I've said it here, it's what I teach our kids. Speak the name of Jesus. Take authority over that terror. Psalms 91:1 says, gives us that promise right there. We shall not be moved by the terror by night, nor the pestilence that wasteth at noonday. We shall not be in terror, but we shall be in peace, because we have the Prince of Peace. When they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters, Israel, until we had crossed over, their heart melted, and there was no spirit. You could say there was no life to stop this enemy. There was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Yeah, there was a spirit. There was a spirit of fear in them. Amen. See, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And when they heard that and saw that and knew that, they got a spirit of fear. Because the Bible says if we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, He has to flee in terror, flee in fear, because he knows who's inferior. God, his creator. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thought that was awesome. And I was reading, I was wanting to get you to the bread, the manna. Talking about the manna. So I'm going to have to take you back a little bit. But I started reading that and then I got off on that trail. And I'm like, wow. Songs of deliverance. There's a song here we sing. I will trust in thee. I will trust in thee. Because we're singing songs of deliverance. See, it's trusting in God. And our songs of deliverance is what gets us and our children into the promised land, God's promised land. This is what all this Arab fighting is over, is the land over there. God's done promised it. If they want to know how to end the battle, read the book. It ain't going to be finished till Jesus returns, but you ought to just go ahead and quit fighting. Amen? And start enjoying the land that you have. If you enjoy what you got, if you enjoy the little bit you got, God will give you more. That's a part of the message. I see how it's kind of coming together now. They got out there with Moses. They made it to the water. 12 wells of water. And they journeyed to Elim. All the congregation of the children of Israel were in Exodus chapter 16. On the 15th day of the second month, which is about a month and a half after they left Egypt, the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained, here we go again, going around that circle again, complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness and to the children of Israel and said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord. Wrong theology. God didn't kill you. Right? Come on, y'all help me now. Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. That was a problem right there. They were getting their belly full and wasn't giving God no place. For you have brought us out, Moses, into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now Moses is out to kill them with hunger. Took them on a 3-day fast. Only been 3 days. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven. For you and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota. Say quota. Remember Pharaoh put a quota of bricks on them while they were in bondage? Moses just knew, God just knew they would hear that word quota. A certain quota. You want to live by the law? You're going to live by the law. In other words, you want to hear law? God's going to give them some law. You ain't going to have more than enough. You're going to have just enough. Quota. Every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Moses told Aaron, say to the children of Israel, Moses delegated that authority to Aaron, and at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. Verse 7, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. I was telling Vicki, well, maybe it's Terry, about the message this morning. This morning I saw the glory of the Lord. It was called the first frost of our season. It's amazing. I told how God had this on my heart, and I got to saw, we had the first frost this morning. Because I was thinking about this last night. I didn't know he was going to get a frost. And he said, in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us? And Moses said, this shall be even when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him, and what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but they're against the Lord. And Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. And I'm going to jump down here a little bit with time's sake. Verse 12, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that the Lord, I am the God, your Lord, your God. So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp. I'm a little dove hunter, but you know what? I'll maybe shoot one or two or four a whole season. Man, we're talking about a covey of quail just come and lit and just sit there and say, eat me, eat me. I'm your supper. Just sit there. Flew in. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there was a little surface on the wilderness. was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. God is in this place. God is in this book. And if you'll listen to him, he'll give you a message. It'll be right what you need. God has something specifically in this message you need to hear today. When I saw that frost, it was like, that's what happened in the morning. There was frost on the ground. It looked like frost, like snow, like a light dust of snow. And when it melted by the sun, there was a little substance left called manna. You go out there and just scoop it up. I'm like, praise God. It's like scooping frost off the ground. I got to see what they saw in the wilderness. Now, whenever I see that, you know what it's going to remind me of? The bread of life. See, God puts things together. Now, you'll remember that. You'll remember this picture today. Whether Jesus comes by the grave or we go by the grave or by the rapture, you'll be able to tell it and you'll be able to link this up to a story of how God is your provider. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus, God rained Jesus down to the earth. Now he reigns in my life and he reigns forevermore. Hallelujah. There's a song right there. Somebody write that down. Jesus, God rained Jesus down to the earth. Now he reigns in my life and he reigns forevermore. I need to hear that. Terry, you got that down? We got it on recording. That's a song of deliverance. Receive that today. That didn't come from me. That came from God Almighty. Because I'm not a songwriter, but yes, I am. David was a songwriter. He had songs in his heart of deliverance. And we are a part of that today. Praise God. Darius, if you feel like singing at the end of this service, you sing. And you can sing it again next Sunday or the next Sunday. Don't let anything keep you from God's song that's in your heart, because it's a song of deliverance. Amen. I'm going to close it right there. I don't want to add to any more of the service right there than what God, but when you see that frost or when you see snow on the ground, think of that manna. And the Bible, I do want to take you a little bit further. I'm not going to have to dig into Scripture, but the Bible said, God told them, take no more than what you need. An omer was like, I think, 4 pints. 2 pints made quarts. So they had 4 pints, so they had 2 quarts. Right? Am I right? 2 quarts of manna of bread from heaven that would last them a day. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. That's where the Lord gives us that song, that model to pray. Whether you had 5 kids, you need 5 omers. So that's what you took. But if you had 10, you take 10 omers to each man according to his family. That's what you would take, because you had to believe God the next day for that provision. It wasn't about God just limiting them. No, it's like, now you got to believe me for the next supply, because you're in the wilderness. You're living by miracles. The wilderness couldn't sustain trees or crops out there, but that didn't mess up God feeding his people. He brought the quail in. Where'd they come from? I don't know. But they came from somewhere to where they were supposed to be. On my table, Reed. That's my Cajun filet biscuit. Right in front of my eyes. Mama, how you say, whip up the manna, because the chicken is here. Make me a biscuit out of that manna, because we're going to have chicken. We're having chicken in the morning. We're having quail in the morning. Because God said, now just get what you need, Mama. Don't put no extra in your sack. Talking about that little apron. Because you know in the morning if you do, it's going to turn into worms. Remember, cousin so-and-so, it happened at her house. That's what the Bible says. There was some went out, took more, and in the morning it would turn into worms. It's stinking. I don't want to be one of them stinky people that don't believe God. I want to be the faithful. I want to be that Caleb. And he was getting them too. He was sustaining them in the wilderness. He had to get all that stinking thinking. Might as well, that's a good place to put stinking thinking in there. Get that stinking thinking out of them so they could get into the land of promise. Because once Joshua got them there, it said the manna ceased. When they ate the corn, and they didn't plant it, somebody else did. See, God will cause your increase to come from somebody else's sweat and labor. It's called the devil's people. Pray for them. But you be expecting money coming out of that kingdom, like Egypt. Here, take this. Grow the ministry. God's put on my heart, can you pray for me? I'm talking about, somebody said, can you pray for me? I want you to have this, but can you pray for me that I could serve a God like you do? And that's true riches. getting somebody into born into the kingdom of God. And everything they have, they want to start putting in, and then the kingdom starts growing. And we all have sufficiency as we need in the body. There's no lack. Take that omer that you need, and it'll be enough. It'll be enough. But I'm taking you to the land of more than enough. But that is going to take faith. Right? You reap what you sow. And sowing takes growing. Right? You got to believe God that I put in the ground. I can't see it no more, Reed. Where did it go? I can't see it in the ground. By faith, it's growing. Amen? That's what happens when we read the Word of God. We put His Word in our heart. And I don't know how it grows, but it does. As long as I keep watering it with faith and with good words, next thing I know, pastor's not praying for my healing. I've already got it because the Lord is my healer. Pastor's there to agree with me, but now there's healing. There's healing in His wings. Healings came forth. Praise God. Where'd it come from? I was just reading the Word, and all of a sudden, I feel better. I'm singing a song of deliverance. I'm dancing a little bit. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Reed, Lewis, about this time this morning, about 7 o'clock this morning, the page looked like this. I had something in my heart. I'd read it, but I said, Lord, I just got to go to bed. It's just been a long day. I'm going to bed, Lord. I'm trusting You. That's a good place to be, is just trusting God for the message. And then I heard there was a frost before I went to bed. And I'm like, well, it's going to be cold in the morning, Lord. He said, yeah, He knew. Yeah, but they're going to have a message in that frost. It's going to burn away out there. That frost is going to burn away, but God says, My Word will never. Heaven and earth is going to be consumed by fire, but My Word will stand the test of that fire. The devil has got something on our horizon, every one of us, when we walk out of this door. But I tell you right now, there's something bigger on the inside of you. That though as you go, Jesus is in the fire with you. And all you got to do to get out of the fire, which is the exodus, is sing a song of deliverance.
I trust in I see.